call the meeting to order and ask the secretary to call the roll.
Director O'Leary. Director O'Connor.
Here.
Director Parks. Director Perry. Director Lee Thomas. Director Leahy. Here. Director Wesson. Chair Yosfosky.
Here.
A quorum is present.
Great. Item three is the approval of the minutes for the August 4th meeting. Is there any discussion on the minutes? Any corrections or additions? Not. There's a motion to approve. It's seconded without objection. Unanimous vote to approve the minutes. Item number four is public comment. Is all of the public comments. Mr. Clint Simmons. Before you start, last month you raised some issues which we asked the Expo staff to follow up on. Have they followed up on those? Yes. I think it was noise. Yes. They used the microphone. Speak into the mic here. Can you turn his mic on? Yeah, why don't you move over there, Chris? Yeah, good.
No problem. Since we have three, I have a choice.
There you go.
Yes, I did get an email back from Rick stating that they was waiting until they turn it over to the MTA, and then he'll have monitors out at that time. I think that is a little unridiculous myself. But you want to do it now while you have a chance to... make the correction that's needed. I think that's what you had on the email statement.
Yeah, just to correct a little bit of a clarification. What I want to do is we're going to be turning it over to Metro here in the next couple of weeks to start running trains from 23rd all the way out to La Cienega. At that time, it'll probably be more appropriate because they'll be running full speed.
But what happened is that if you're not meeting the EIR requirements now and you're running it when you go into operation, common sense say that we're not going to do it there either.
Yeah, but until we test, we don't know that
we're not moving it. I don't think he's moving it into operation. I think they're going to be testing it. Is that
right.
What you're saying?
Yeah,
Metro is going to be testing it?
That's correct.
Okay, so it's not full operation.
But the thing that I'm concerned about is that doing the testing and then you turn it over to MTA and then they say, well, we don't have the money to do the same thing happened out on the Gold Line. We all know what happened there. And so we don't want the same thing to happen here, specifically where we live, because the thing is going to be noise as it is. It's not only is it noise, but it has destroyed the community in terms of just the way it looks and the whole works in that case. So to be put up with the noise, that's another thing. To me, if we have noise now, my training was that you doing testing, that's when you want to... check out your design to see if it's working properly. And so if it's not working properly, you have time to make your corrections there or redesign it.
You want to respond
to
that.
Therefore, if we have a noise problem now during the test phase with the few trains out there, with a few trains running, you know common sense is going to tell us we have it when you
okay. Go to Quint, let me have it.
Number one, we haven't tested yet, so we don't know what the situation is out there. All I'm saying is pretty soon Metro will be running from 23rd to La Cienega in the next couple of weeks, well before revenue service. And at that time, it would be appropriate to get our noise monitors out when we're running at regular
okay.
Operation.
Suppose you find that there's an exceedance in the noise, then what?
That's right.
What do we do then?
Then we would have to fall back on the environmental, which requires us to go back and
mitigate.
Take a look at what those areas are, whether they need further mitigation, and there's various things in the EIR that says what types of mitigation measures. Double insulated windows, those sort of things.
Would that still be our responsibility? Or
yes.
So just because you're turning it over to Metro for testing doesn't mean that we're absolved of any responsibility to comply with our environmental
That's
promises.
Right. That's right.
Okay. All right. So give them a couple more weeks and let's see where it goes.
Okay, fine. But the thing that I'm concerned about is that that's why I alerted everybody to the fact that it's noisy now. It does exceed the EISER requirements. And so to me, I would want to do something at this phase instead of waiting until you go into the operational phase, then it's more expensive to do it that way.
Yeah, but it's not going to be an operational phase at that point. It's going to be in a testing phase.
Okay. So, what is it doing now?
Well, they're not testing between, as I understand it, from 23rd to La Cienega.
Oh, yes, they are. The train passed my house.
But they're only doing static and dynamic.
They're not going full speed.
They are doing.
They're not going full speed.
They're not going full speed. Well, if you're going, if you're not going full speed, it's going to be loud as hell.
All right. Well,
if they're not full speed now,
let's cross that bridge when we get to it, so to speak.
Because the noise level is going to depend upon the speed. The faster you go, the louder that baby will get, and the more Doppler effect you're going to have, specifically with those buildings that's north of your right of way.
All right, I just wanted to follow up and make sure that we didn't let that fall through the cracks. Okay, you're on now. You got two items you wanted to speak to.
Okay, the two items that I have, one, I like to see the way that the board is taking care of Culver City with their bike paths and such. And one of the things that we have lost a lot of parking space on Exposition Boulevard, the part that is north of the right-of-way from Crenshaw all the way out to Dorsey High School, which is a farm deal. And it's easy to put the bike pass over on the south side of the freeway, but there's less traffic there. You can have a whole bicycle, instead of just a bicycle lane, you can have a bicycle street there in that respect, like 4th Street out in Los Angeles itself. So to take away the parking space that they have with the people who was living there, and this is something that I missed it in the ER because I wasn't looking at that in that respect, because I never knew that they would have such a long trough for to make a left turn there on Buckingham. So what we're saying is that you can move the bike path south of the right-of-way on that part of Exposition, since Exposition splits in two pieces, and the people living on the north side can get their parking back because there's no one able to park, which is two blocks a row east of Buckingham and two blocks west of Buckingham. And we do have some apartment units there as well as single-family homes, and that's something that I hope that you would take a look at in that regard. If that's something that you could do, it would be better for the bike path in that respect. Mr. Chairman?
Can we let Rick answer
Mr. Simmons and a few other people from the community brought that to my attention. I passed it on to Mr. Thorpe, and we're going to get together with the Department of Transportation to see if we can't work it out. I mean, it truly adversely affects the limited parking that's already there. But I did the last meeting I had with Rick, I brought it up, and I hope to sit down with DOT to see if there's some creative way that we can address that. And that's why I told you we're going to do it.
All right, fine. Okay, the next item, I don't know if this will be... Okay, go ahead.
No, he's agreeing with Councilman Wilson.
The next item, I don't know if this will be part of the operation, but the trains now are using their clacker horn when they reach the La Brea Bridge. And there's no need for that because there's nobody crossing. Why are they using... I don't know. I'm just saying that that's going to be part of the operation, and that's something that we have a concern about because there's no need for that to add more noise to the track noise that we're presently experiencing.
Yeah. Why would you use the horn going up to the La Brea station?
It would be up to Metro as to operations. We'd have to ask the Metro operating.
Is that a safety issue for the people who are standing on the platform, or is that? Sounds to me would be unnecessary, but
I'm not sure the situation. We'll talk later. I'll get the idea.
Okay.
Tell me what you're doing. I'm not sure what it is, so let's talk, and I'll find out what you're doing, what the concern is.
You know, this is one of the things, as a matter of fact, it has happened on many occasions. As they're going up, you hear the horn spring. So one of the neighbors told me, say, well, maybe they're going to cut it off when they start running the train. But to me, I don't know. That's why we're here raising that.
Yeah, it's totally grade separated at that point. I don't know why you would.
Because the grade separated, there's no need for it. And specifically at night, you could probably hear that thing maybe three-quarters of a mile away, more or less.
likely.
And the protocol is to do...
Because it's high...
Well, okay, so let me talk with you about it. The protocol is to do it at grade crossing or if somebody's on the track.
If somebody's on the track?
Right, sure. If there's somebody intruding the right-of-way, you want to try to alert them to get out of the way. Let me talk with you, and I'll get the details from you, and we'll follow up.
Yeah, okay, but this is not like a right-of-way. This is already...
Well, no, he gets it. He said look into it.
Okay,
let's find out what's going on.
All right.
It's a good catch. Thanks for bringing that.
And the next thing is that I understand you're having groundbreaking next week on phase two. Phase two is still in an appeal, the last that I heard on the EIR. And so I would think it would behoove this board not to spend a lot of money until that thing has been resolved. That's only my opinion now. I don't know. I'm not a legal person, but I think I have common sense in many respects. If something is under appeal, you don't know how it's going to come out. And so if you're going to work like you're going to get a favorable ruling, you may be wrong in that case. I'm looking in terms of trying to save money.
Yeah, I think we're aware of that.
Okay. All right, thank you for giving me a chance to speak, and I appreciate you looking into our parking problem and the noise there.
Okay, thank you, Clint. Appreciate it. All right, anybody else on public comment? Having seen no hands and we have no other cards, then public comment is closed. Consent calendar? Is there anybody who wants to pull anything off the consent calendar?
I'll move it.
Moved, seconded. Moved by O'Connor, seconded by Mihal. Without objection, this is on A and B, 5A and B. Without objection, unanimous vote. Next item.
Item 6A, Phase 1, Contract Award of Culver City Work.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, this item is regarding the last work in Culver City. It's the work to complete what we call a little triangle called Lot A, the much bigger temporary parking facility that will hold up to about 600 cars. We have to do some work at Washington National per the environmental document, as well as construct the bike path. We have been working with the contractor on finalizing the cost. We estimated at the time we published the board report that it would be about $7.4 million. We finished negotiations today, and unfortunately it's a little bit over that. It's $7,650,000. The reason, primary reason for it going up was a retaining wall, a fairly substantial retaining wall between a business and a bike path that was left out of our estimate, as well as some additional grading on both parking lots.
All right, but what's the amount? What's the delta?
The delta is $250,000, so... Yeah. That $250,000 we would come out of our cost containment savings, so the total would be $7,650,000. This action would also be contingent upon executing the funding agreement for $4 million reimbursement for the aerial structure, the local match Culver City is committed to, as well as the $2.9 million to deepen the foundations to accommodate their transit-oriented development. Metro has been working very hard. We've been helping to the extent we can on those agreements. My understanding is that Culver City is going to take the agreements. We're very, very close. And they're going to take the agreements to their city council on September 12th. And my understanding is Metro CEO Art Leahy has the ability to sign those because of the MOU granted him those abilities. So my understanding is he'll have the ability to sign those. And then as soon as Culver City takes their action, and we get those executed, we'll be able to issue a notice to proceed to our contractor to finish off that work.
Yeah. Well, I can't speak for my colleagues, but I'm confident that we will be moving forward on September 12th. Thank you for everyone for putting this together and to turning what seemed a big deal into a storm in a teacup.
All right. I appreciate everybody's cooperation in getting this done. Looks like we're there. Any other discussion on this item? Is there a motion to approve the recommendation of the director?
I'll move it.
Second.
Moved by Director O'Connor, seconded by Director O'Leary without objection. Unanimous vote. Next item.
7A project status update.
Mr. Olson will give this presentation.
We'll start with phase one. Some of the construction photos. Go out there now, you'll see a lot more activity with the trains running up and down the alignment. This is showing the testing of the gated crossing at Farmdale. So we've actually over the last week or so gone through and done both the static and dynamic testing on the gated crossings and the protection equipment. So now you'll see when the trains go by, the gates will now be dropping at the crossings, and we've also received the okay from LADOT. We had flaggers out there, so now we'll basically don't need the flaggers anymore because the crossings are now functioning. So, you know, you see the trains running out there at speed as we start to move forward. This is progress of the parking structure at La Cienega, so that's moving along nicely. So we still anticipate having that done here in the fall. And this is the track being installed at the Culver City Aerial Station, so we're still moving forward with the work there to support completing that work early next year. Major issues, the contractor's latest schedule was forecasting substantial completion in August 25th. Today, September 1st, they still don't have substantial completion, so they missed that. We have, again, put them on notice for assessment of liquidated damages beginning on July 17th, so we continue to accrue those. Our evaluation of the schedule and the work that needs to be completed is showing they will have substantial completion in October. But as Mr. Thorpe had stated, we're working very closely with Mr. Leahy's staff to look at how we can get the system in a manner that they can start beginning running their operators on the alignment. I think we have an agreement to bifurcate the alignment and basically to run trains from 23rd Street Station to La Cienega, hopefully here in the next couple of weeks. And while we continue to work on the junction, which is really the complicated piece, with the hopes of getting that sorted out here in the next month or so. We have the remaining elements of work, which include the Farmdale and Culver City stations, which, again, we anticipate having done early in 2012. As far as the project budget goes, we've executed approximately $522 million in construction contracts, which is within the $570 million in the construction allowance and contingency. But as we've stated, there's still a number of risk items that are out there that we need to continue to manage against the remaining budget. Currently, we're forecasting a $3.5 million deficit, up a little bit from last month. It has to do with not being able to realize quite as much of the third-party reimbursements as we had hoped, so we've got to continue to work on that. We still continue to work our cost containment efforts. We still have value engineering proposals that we think can result in another $1 million in savings. Continue to work on third-party reimbursements, which we think have the potential for $4 million in revenue, and then other cost-saving measures that we're looking at, deferment of elements of work, items such as that, which we're looking at another $1 million. So if we can recognize a majority of these, we can hopefully close the budget shortfall, although there's still risk out there that has to do with some of the other unknowns. Any potential claims. Local jobs and DVE for the month from July 24th to August 20th, FFD local hires were 58.5% and the subcontractor was 24.4 for a total of 43.3%. Cumulative to date, 37.1% for FFP, 24.7 for their subs for a total of 30.1. And FFP is forecasting meeting the 30% goal at the end of the project. PBE performance, design is at 24%, professional services 33.8, and construction at 18.7. They're forecasting an overall percentage of 21.1% at the completion of the job. Moving on to phase two, things are moving ahead there. We have field work going on along the alignment, geotechnical borings along the alignment. This is out in Santa Monica, and we're actually out there doing potholing activity. So this is saw cutting to go through and identify known and unknown utilities within the corridor. As far as the work goes, we've received the 60% track work submittal from the Skanska-Rados joint venture. We've completed the preliminary engineering on city-funded betterments at the Olympic and 26th Street Station and the Colorado and 17th Street Stations, and we're in the process of pricing those betterments to get that back to the city. We continue progressing the remaining design elements in the main contract up to the 60% level. We've began the field analysis for the Kenter Canyon storm drain, which is a large storm drain that runs down Colorado Avenue in Santa Monica. So this is an important thing to get started so we can identify what, if any, measures we need to do to protect that storm drain. As I said, survey and potholing work is ongoing out in the field. We're doing pre-construction surveys along the alignment, and we are out in front doing close coordination with DWP and Southern California Edison to stay out in front of overhead power line relocations. The maintenance facility, maintenance design group, our final design contractor is completing conceptual design and cost estimates on the facility. The Venice Boulevard aerostructure that was awarded last board meeting, we've held a design kickoff meeting with Balfour Beatty Infrastructure to get the design work started, and we're advancing design elements for the structure as well as the documents needed for us to secure our Caltrans project report, project study report. Community outreach, we hosted an urban design committee meeting middle of last month. We continue to provide updates to Assembly Select Committee and the Rail Transportation. Continue to work closely with the stakeholders along the alignment, working with Santa Monica to finalize our master cooperative agreement. Working with the businesses along the alignment to keep them informed of activities. And we have a community meeting coming up Tuesday of next week on the maintenance facility design. That concludes my presentation.
Thank you. Any questions?
Nothing other than I believe it was last Wednesday I was driving down National Boulevard, and I saw the train. I was very excited. I was so excited, I jumped over the rail and had Shelley Wolfberg, city staff, take a photograph of me by the train in Culver City. So we're very excited.
Maybe that's where the horn was coming from. all right. It is looking good. And the landscaping stuff, I guess, will going to take hold over time, but it looks like the landscaping is, some of the planting has already taken place. And the, by the way, the landscaping at the Orange Line, I had a guy unsolicited come up to me today, not a user of our system at all, but just loves the landscaping, which is exactly what the idea was. And it has held for all these years. Now it's, what, 6-7 years now. It really looks good, and I think this is going to look better. So the goal is I want Mr. Simmons to come here on public comment someday and say that the landscaping is really beautiful. I think it's premature at this point, but I think he'll do that at some point. But we got to take care of the noise. All right, thank you. If without a... there's no other questions or comments, Thanks for the status, project status update. Should we go to 7B, report on the local jobs program?
Yes, item 7B is an oral report from our contractor, phase two contractor, per the request at the last board meeting. They'll bring you up to speed on what they've been doing as far as local jobs program, SBE program, on phase two. I think Mike Aparicio, who's the project director on the phase two project for the Skanska-Rados joint venture, will lead off and introduce the rest of the staff.
All right. Before you do that, the board secretary asked me to announce that Director Ridley Thomas had joined the meeting. He actually was here when the roll was called, and he acknowledged that he was here. So, just for the record, he was here at the commencement of the meeting.
All right.
All right. You're on.
Good afternoon. I'm Mike Aparicio, project manager for Skanska-Rados. Thank you for letting us come and present a little bit about the SBE programs that we have in place and the local hiring programs and practices for Phase 2. We are deeply committed to meeting and exceeding the goals for the project. To my left is Andre Gaino, our contract officer for the project, who is focused on these items at the project. And to my right is John Harris of Harris & Associates, who assists us with the outreach efforts that we have in these items. We are deeply committed to these goals. We will make them and exceed them for the project. Andre?
Just to describe a little bit of the first page, we have the top-to-bottom team commitment. Our outreach team was assembled and mobilized in mid-July. Our subcontractor, local, small business enterprise, and local hire reporting started in mid-August. Subcontractors and subconsultants contractually required to attain all goals. So all of our goals passed down from our contract directly to them. Subcontractor and subconsultant compliance is monitored on an ongoing basis. And if I could just add, it's actually on a weekly basis. So we're monitoring the performance of our subcontractors as well as ourselves on a weekly basis. Regular project-wide meetings to explain and reaffirm our commitment as a team to goal attainment. And our subcontractors are parts of those meetings.
We will exceed these goals. We are providing opportunities to local small businesses. We're on page two, I'm sorry, of the presentation. We deeply believe and are committed to providing residents long-term, well-paying jobs, building construction careers. We will be consistent and on time and accurate and transparent with our reporting. Andre, on the local hire.
We're going to be coordinating very closely with the unions to ensure that we meet the project labor requirements as well as the goals. Managing community expectations, making sure that our constituents understand the design-build delivery method and the timing that's associated with that delivery method. We're going to closely monitor contractor and subcontractor performance, as I've mentioned on the prior page.
Here's the numbers. Early in the project, basically 3 months into the project, and our performance currently. Andre, you want to roll through the SBE numbers?
Yeah, we currently have 21 subcontractors on board right now. Of that 21, 15 are SBEs for 71% of our contracts right now with small businesses. Of that 15, 11 are the local businesses.
On the construction side?
Right.
Go ahead and run through those numbers, please.
SBE dollar commitment on our for our small businesses is $7.7 million, roughly around 20%. Current LBE dollar commitment based on our LNTP is $7.3 million, 18.9%. Total subcontracts we have right now for the project during the LNTP is $39 million, roughly.
On the design side, our design partner, Parsons Brinkerhoff, who, by the way, is designing the project a couple blocks from here at the city building where we are co-located with them, has made great efforts. We are already at $13 million dollars in terms of committed value to SBEs at the project and are about 21% there. We're deeply committed to SBE development. I expect these numbers to go up, in particular the local SBEs that we are trying to develop. Any type of local business on the corridor, we're putting a lot of attention to. Local hire, it's early in the project. We've only been mobilizing equipment over the last 2 months and a lot of associated things for the project. The raw numbers are good. We only have about 23 workers on the project right now, craft workers, of which 9 are local hires. The aggregate numbers need attention. Again, we've been mobilizing the project June to August. We've been moving in equipment. We've been focused on yard setups. We've done a lot of survey on the project, a lot of environmental investigation and utility potholing. And our numbers reflect that front-end three-month effort to get set up, get the designer going. We've had very little actual craft and construction work, and the numbers represent that by showing only a 16% currently in terms of local hire. But we're very focused, and we do have a workforce now that's at the 30% level as we turn our attention and fall to some demolition and other work associated with the project. Andre, you want to talk about our outreach efforts?
Yesterday, we attended the Congressional Black Caucus for the People Jobs Initiatives, and it's been very, you know, it's been all over the news. 4,000 people showed up, roughly 4,000 people showed up. We had the opportunity to talk to 500 of those people and explain the program and make sure they understood that there will be some opportunities for them that are going to result from this project.
We're very active in the communities, trying to form deep relationships, trying to get out to hit the job fairs, partner with the community wherever we can, get the story out there and talk about opportunities. Thank you for allowing us to give you this brief overview today.
Thank you. Questions? Herb.
What are you supposed to be, eye candy or
something? Respectfully, Mr. Harris, I think, talks too much sometimes. Go ahead, Jeff.
I take offense to that, but I would certainly gladly respond to any specific questions.
All right, are there any questions? All right, look forward to your next report. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
So that takes care of item 7B.
Item 8, CEO comments.
I have no comments for this meeting.
Okay. Any board member comments?
Chairman, going to the last presentation, perhaps at the next report, attention will be given to local residents who are hired, who have been working on phase one if they are in fact being transitioned to phase two. So how many would be the case? So.
All right, did you guys hear that? You could address that next time.
Yeah.
All right. Any others? Comments? If not, let's move on to number eight. Eight is the CEO has no comments. Any board comments on item number nine? Or none? We have a closed session item today?
Yes, we do, Mr. Chair. Item 10A is a discussion of personnel matters under Government Code 54957. As noted in the agenda, we do not anticipate reportable action.
Okay. We will recess into executive session at this time. Are you going to do it? No, there will be no staff. This is a personnel matter, so just be the principals. And Mr. Thorpe, if you could stand by.